we are going to Tel Aviv. As you will know, this year's Eurovision is there, has proved quite confidential, taking place against the backdrop of the continuing conflict between Palestine and Israel. Dan Williams is senior Reuters correspondent in Israel and the Palestinian territories, and he is in Tel Aviv now, and he joins me now. Well, the main event takes place tonight, the final, etc. What is the atmosphere like? And I'm not really talking about the musical end of it as much as the security and political end of it.
Well, that's an excellent question. I think given that two rounds of semifinals have passed without incident, and by all accounts successfully, there was a lot of polish. The visual design was really quite striking. There was a very moving performance by an Israeli band of special needs young people. So the anticipation is high. The people who have come from abroad within Israel to attend seem to be enjoying it. This being Israel, a very security-conscious country, there is a high level of security. According to the Israeli organizers, fully 10% of the budget they allotted to this event, to Eurovision 2019, went on security. So there is some concern there. Also, Tel Aviv, while it might be Israel's commercial capital, it's really the size of a provincial city in West Europe. So it gets congested very, very quickly. And it's fair to say that that would increase the sense of hubbub.
If you take the kinds of protests and the exhortations to people not to go there, it all comes to the Palestinians, the West Bank, Gaza, the occupied places where the Israelis have moved in and built enormous places and essentially stripped the land back from the Palestinians. Does that get traction as a conversation there?
I'm not sure it has. In conversations we've had, again, those who chose to attend from abroad, and I think it would be fair to say that attendance was lower compared to previous Eurovisions, perhaps certainly compared to or judging by what the Israeli hosts had hoped for in terms of a foreign tourism influx. The main complaints we've been hearing have actually been on prices, ticket prices, the general, the cost of living, flights, hotels and such like. I'm not sure there has been traction for the women when it comes to the boycott calls. I think the organizers and the participants have very successfully stated that this is a non-political event, an apolitical event. And clearly, those who came, whether to perform or to attend, just by coming, have effectively been making a statement as to their position on the boycott calls, that they were deciding to go against it or ignore it, or simply don't see it as relevant to themselves.
I remember way back with the anti-apartheid demonstrations, and there was always seemingly rows going on with the IRFU on one side and them on the other. And then one of the commentators, actually on such a trip in South Africa, went out to the townships and saw the reality and came back and wrote quite differently. I mean, would any of them that you're aware of have tried to go and see what's happening in the West Bank?
It's possible. I'm not aware of any specific visits of the kind. I know that many of them have gone on junkets, tours of better-known tourist sites in Israel. And as for trips beyond the Green Line, before the Beyond the Fence, I'm not aware of this.
Right. Because it's not easy. I'm not suggesting it's easy. But it's relatively easy to get into the other side of that wall, isn't it?
Not really. The distances aren't great, but if you're talking about the two main territories, Gaza is blockaded by Israel and by Egypt, the other country that borders it.
Yeah.
There is a very intense security situation. In fact, there was an exchange of missile fire and airstrikes only 2 weeks ago. It really is a hot border, a hot frontier, and you have to make some effort as a foreigner to get in. It's not impossible, but it does take some effort. When it comes to the West Bank, again, that's and how to the east as opposed to Gaza, which is more like 2.5 hours to the south of Tel Aviv. It is more porous, it is more penetrable. And yes, in principle, there wouldn't be much of a problem for a foreign visitor going out there to take a look.
Right. Will many Palestinians go to this performance, I wonder?
It's possible. In fact, the winner, Israel, is hosting it by dint of...
Oh, have we lost our line there? Well, we'll have to leave at
that. Hello, I'm still here.
Oh, are you? Sorry, you were just going to say.
Sorry about that. Yes. Just to note, Israel's hosting Eurovision this year by dint of having won last year.
Yes.
And the singer, with her performance of a song called Toy, Netta Barzilai, said very recently not only that she'd be happy to perform among Palestinians or Palestinians to attend, she'd even propose Palestine or the Palestinian polity being part of Eurovision. So who knows where things stand. I'm not aware of widespread interest in it.
Okay. Well, this time, Dan, it has faded away, but we've got the gist of that, and thank you very, very much indeed. And that was Dan Williams, a senior Reuters correspondent in Israel and the Palestinian territories.